Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, God bless you, Blood River Radio family. You know, we just heard, you heard the old Alabama Lone Wolf, Ran Owen. That's his new nickname. And we heard the great Dr. Hill on. We had a great hour there. And we did something. I think we've done it. That's probably the third time we've done it since we've had Blood River Radio. Dr. Hill always leads us in prayer when we start. And I was so inspired by what he and Ran said. I had them I requested Dr. Hill say a closing prayer. He did. That's about the third time we've done it since this show started. But I tell you what, if we've ever needed prayer, Lord, we need it now. And we need to stand up and like men and come to the call and do what do like King David did. But anyway, people, that's what we did this hour, like I promised. Miss Monica Braveheart, my little sister, she's on tonight of the second hour. And also is Gene the Bitter Ender. You know, he had to get a new sword. He had that one special made. But he was just chopping up with so many Yankees and so many Antifa. A sword can only take so much. So Gene's got his special delivery sword. And I don't know if he's got blood on it or not, but by the end of the show, I'm sure he will have. But we got this letter. I'm going to read it again. I love reading letters at least once. This letter, and I want Gene to hear this. It says, this letter came from right under Sam Bushman's nose out there in Utah. It says, Dear Eddie, I found out some history you and Gene might be interested in. Gene is our resident PhD in history, folks. I'm not sure y'all know that. It is about President Jefferson Davis. I found this out while watching a railroad documentary. It turns out that he has had some history here in Utah. Jeff Davis worked as a government railroad surveyor in the 1830s. He was instrumental in surveying some of the routes for the original Transcontinental Railroad. At the time, it was not known where the Transcontinental Line would run. He surveyed the line that went through Provo Canyon in the 1830s. However, they decided not to use that line for the Transcontinental Route. What is interesting is that he came to Utah to survey in the 1830s before the pioneers even came here in 1847. He said, thank y'all for your inspired work and great show, Jeff. So they always mention you, Gene, doggone it. You know what? Old Gene keeps us going on this show, buddy. I ain't kidding you. But anyway, how are you doing tonight, baby sister?
Oh, I'm doing very well, thank you. I listened to all but the first quarter of your first hour, and it was just excellent, really excellent. I'd like to segue from some of what you discussed, like, for example, Dr. Hill's assessment of things going down and that there really is no reforming the system. It is completely illegitimate, and he is optimistic that it is indeed going down and that we then have a rebirth, which is absolutely necessary because the system that we have is completely illegitimate. It is actually a pretend system that has its power through illusion, and they did not get to where they are, the people who are supposedly representing us, they did not get there by legitimate means. So that can be illustrated by a couple of recent examples of what's going on in Canada. And if you like, I can talk about that a little bit. Plus, I actually, over the last couple of days, spent some time with two men who went to Ottawa, were quite involved in the convoy, and their commentary about it is just really, really interesting. So wow. That's what I have to present to you, but I don't want to just go on here without letting you comment or Gene to also come in.
Well, I just got one comment. If you could, that'd be great. I'm glad you're doing that. And it'd be great if you could get one of those gentlemen on. And before you take off on that, we'll bring in the old Bitter Ender, my brother. I'm the tall one. If you know the picture, I'm the tall, good-looking one at the right. Gene and Dr. Hill, they're short ones. Gene's only, 6'3". Dr. Hill's probably 6'50". But anyway, I still have a photograph of me and Dr. Hill and Gene. I look like a a beetle bug or something compared to a big snapping turtle. But they're the guys tower over me. But anyway, how you doing tonight there, Bitter Ender?
Doing very well. Doing very well. Thank you, sir. And thank you for the comments. No, I would defer my time to Monica. I would definitely want to hear what she has to say. And as a Southern gentleman, I would always defer to a young lady and let her go first and whatever she needs to cover. And I'll pick up the last 2 minutes of the program as we sign off.
Well, don't. Gene's still got the mute button. Gene mutes me all the time.
Whatever you need me to do, but I would definitely defer. But first, I would like to put in one thing before Monica starts. I would like to again give her my congratulations and praise and thanks for her brother Alfred being released from the gulag in East Germany or wherever they were holding him over there for daring to speak the truth. And
exactly. Thank you. Yeah, he was in Bavaria, in Landsberg am Lech. That's the prison where somebody wrote a bestseller about 100 years ago. Do you remember who that was?
Wow.
I heard a joke. Let me throw in a joke one time on one of the radio programs. They said, what is the difference between Hillary Clinton and Adolf Hitler? And they said, well, the difference is Hitler wrote his own book. So anyway,
that's great.
I've got one quick comment, then we're going to go with baby sister. A dear friend sent me this, and Monica knows her, and this is just a quick quote I'm going to give. And then baby sister, Miss Braveheart, probably, because she is a Braveheart. Here's a quote. I love it. It's pinned to my wall. It's a quote. When freedom dies, the best people meet in prison. Adolf Hitler.
Indeed. Adolf Hitler. It is absolutely true.
Yes, it is.
Best people meet in prison. And, you know, that Southern hospitality and the Southern manners, the Southern everything, I'm absolutely just thrilled to be on this show regularly with you gentlemen. And I just have to say that, and I'm going to repeat something I've said before, and sometimes I'm worried about repeating myself. And my brother, Alfred, has always said, don't worry about repeating yourself. We have to repeat ourselves. You know, what did Coca-Cola do? They told us a million times that they're the best, and then they told us again so we can repeat ourselves. But, you know, growing up with whatever education we had or whatever they called education, public education, and maybe whatever came from movies and mainstream media, whatever, we grew up with this impression of the Southern United States being some kind of hick, primitive people. This is, I'm just telling you, the impressions that I got just through the air, just like all the false narratives and impressions we got about what happened in World War II in Germany. Same thing. The Southerners have been maligned and portrayed in a completely false light. So I just wanted to say that again. And by the way, Eddie, congratulations on the award that I just heard about in the first hour of this show. And in my humble opinion, you are a very, very deserving man of that award. So that just wanted to add that.
Thank you so much. You know, and I'm so proud we have two other guys. And, you know, the Bitter Ender got that award, too. So you're talking, we got three men on this show, not Cloud, Dr. Hills, the head honcho, that we got awards from the League of the South. And I'm so proud, and I know Gene is, although Gene is not as vocal about it, he's not near as egotistical as I am.
well, congratulations to you too, Gene. That's wonderful. That is just fantastic. Okay, so I was going to talk about a couple of things that are going on in Canada. I did mention this, I think it was last week, about this Bill C-19, this Holocaust denial is being now formally put into Canada's criminal code, the hate crime legislation. There already was a hate crime bill, 319, and this is added to it now, but they slipped it in with a budget bill, which is just absolutely so, you know, devious, really. And it has now gone through the third reading, both in the House and third reading in the Senate, June 23rd, apparently, passed through the Senate. So the only step left is ratification and, you know, it has to go through the Governor General, which is basically the Queen. And then this thing is law. Like, it leaves me actually kind of, I don't know what to say, because, you know, you don't hear them talking about it in the mainstream media at all. And I think that's probably on purpose, because there's an awful lot of people who are waking up about, and maybe it'll make more people say, well, why do they have to put this, you know, a historical event or a non-event into legislation? I mean, it doesn't make any sense anyway to legislate history. I mean, Gene, you as a historian would agree with that, no? Like, does it make sense
Absolutely.
To legislate history?
You can't do it. It's history.
It doesn't make sense, right? Something either happened or it didn't. And I say to people, it's just in a nutshell, if they don't know much about it, and they're maybe curious and they're skeptical and they look at me askance because I was, you know, went to jail for words. And I say, look, if we were telling lies, like, it's acknowledged that I went to jail just for speaking words. I did not do anything violent, right? I just spoke words and I went to jail. So if I was just speaking lies, then they could use words to counter my words. They could use evidence and words, right? But they don't have that capability because they don't have the evidence on their side. They don't have anything supporting their story. So they have to resort to force. That's how it is. They just have to resort to force. And Eddie, I do hear the music, so I guess that's...
Yes, ma'am. And I'm so glad you like being here with us Southern Gentlemen, because we love having you two, and we would die for you. There's nobody going to lay a hand on you when we're around. People, we're going right back to Sister Monica as soon as we come back from this break. So hold on to your seats.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for keeping us on the air with your generous donations. We love you to pieces. We couldn't live without you. We definitely have to have that financial support, and you people have been keeping us on the line. People, we're going right back to my little sister, Miss Braveheart, and she earned that name. That's just not just a nickname. That's Miss Braveheart. Back to you, Miss Sister Braveheart.
Thank you. This topic, I'm not going to spend much time on it. But it's really to underscore what Dr. Hill said in the first hour about our system going down, that it's completely illegitimate. So you've all heard about the, what's going on in the Netherlands, because the government somehow wants to reduce nitrogen. Now, nitrogen is a pretty major component of our atmosphere. It's kind of crazy because they're basically want to snuff out life, and their measures of, you know, diminishing the amount of nitrogen is basically going to shut down, I don't know how many of the farms, maybe 30% or 50%. It's crazy. Here in Canada, Trudeau is making rumblings along the same lines. So I just wanted to say that. So these folks, these diabolical, you know, devil-worshipping people who pretend to be our leaders are absolutely, I mean, what can I say? They're completely evil. They are the puppets for, you know, the hidden hand, which we all know who that is. And it's those you're not allowed to criticize, lest you be called anti-Semitic. So anyway, this new thing that came to my attention, because I met these two men yesterday and this morning again, and they were heavily involved in Ottawa with a convoy. And this one comment, I just thought, wow, this is really, really interesting. So the one fellow, he said, how did it happen that it got shut down? Okay, so, you know, the police and their horses, and they ran down some people, and they came in with brute force, right? We saw that. We all saw some videos of that, and they really came in with brute force. But, you know, he says, we outnumbered them by far. Now, if we had just taken some of those police down, just attack them, this wouldn't have happened. We could have stayed our ground. And, you know, people will react to that. And even amongst the people where we were standing around in a group there, they sort of get wide-eyed. And he told us that many people react with, oh, well, somebody would have gotten hurt. You know, then the next police officer would just pull out the gun and shoot or whatever. He says, yeah, maybe somebody would have gotten hurt. But think about it this way. Our grandfathers, they would be mortified to see that we basically don't resist. We don't fight back because somebody might get hurt. True, somebody might get hurt, but we are in a war. We are in a war. Yeah, somebody might get hurt. I mean, what did Alexander Solzhenitsyn say? And Eddie, you have read this quote a few times when they were in the gulags and how they were just saying, if only people had just gathered together whatever they had in their kitchens or their homes and just, you know, made it so that some of these guys don't go home anymore, these yes. apparatchiks, right?
Here's that quote. Yep, you've got me on fire now, Miss Monica. I have to read. That's one of my favorite quotes. So here he is. And this is to all of our peacenik friends out there that say, oh, peace at any price. Oh, let's see. Let me go to it. Let's see. It kind of blacked out. I got to go. Oh, here we go. It says, and how we burned in the camps later, thinking, what would things have been like if every security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive and had to say goodbye to his family. Or during periods of mass arrest, as for example in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, people had not just sat there in their lairs, paling in terror at every bang on the downstairs door and every step on the staircase, but had understood that they had nothing left to lose. And they had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of a half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, or whatever else was at hand. The organs would very quickly have suffered a shortage of officers and transport. Notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the curse machine would have ground to a halt if we didn't love Freeman enough, and even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. We purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterward, and that's so right. We deserve every damn thing that's happening to us right now, because there's so damn many cowards in our movement, so many cowards here in the United States. We got too good, and you are 1,000% right, Miss Monica. Those damn police, those so-called police, those pseudo-police, those armed, you know, vigilante bastards, they are attacking us. If we can't stand up and defend our home, our family, then you know what? We deserve whatever the hell we get. What do you think about that, Gene?
Well, it was an interesting program that Tucker Carlson had on this week. He was talking about all the people who have been arrested by the regime in Washington and using our so-called Department of Justice or Department of Injustice, whatever you want to call it, and the FBI to go after political opponents. And they were listing all the people that have been arrested on the right for questioning the COVID and the response to that, or supporters of Trump. And this is the way they operated in the Soviet Union. They went, these people hadn't really broken any laws, but they were just they were on the opposite side of the political party in power. And he went down and listed all of these people and the ones that had been arrested in the last year or two, simply for being speaking out against the administration. And it is. It's a sickness that's invaded this country as well as Canada. We can't criticize the Canadians for what happened to the people in the convoys. It's just as bad, if not worse, in this country. Not just the local police. They're using our federal law enforcement agency, the FBI, and the Department of Homeland Security to go after people here that disagree with the administration. And these people aren't talking about going to the streets and burning down the Capitol and burning down the White House and running all these bastards off into the Potomac River and drowning them, which, you know, is not really a bad idea. I wouldn't disagree with that, but
amen.
They weren't saying that, but just in the opposition. And that's the terrible thing about the way this country's going down the drain. And I've, of course, agreed with Dr. Hill for a long time that the disease in Washington can't be cured. We have to separate and get away from it. And just like the COVID epidemic, so-called, you had to separate people and get them away from this disease or whatever it was. And we have to separate ourselves and get away from the disease in Washington before it kills all of us. And a point I made before, Eddie, on the show, I think it would be kind of ironic if this clown in the White House, this election-stealing, senile, drooling idiot Biden, is able to accomplish something that people like Robert E. Lee and President Jefferson Davis in Bedford Forrest couldn't do, and that's get a separation away from the United States government. How ironic would that be that Biden is the one that's the last straw that separates the South from the United States? That you have to appreciate the ironies in history sometimes.
Poetic justice for sure. You know, Miss Monica, we'll go back to you, my sister, Monica Braveheart, bless her heart. You know, in here, the left, the communists, the Jews, the Satan-worshipping Jews here in the United States that have gotten control of our entire Congress. I know everybody knows that. They've got control of the Congress, the Senate, the universities, the media, you name it. They use the law against us like pit bulls. But when the law, for instance, what the Supreme Court recently said, you know, you can no longer kill your babies. And they also, the Supreme Court, struck down that draconian law that New York State had getting rid of all their gun laws. Well, then the left, the communists, the Jews, they go insane. And they said they're going to impeach the court system. You know, they're going to damn the Supreme Court. You know, and like Gene pointed out, Sister Monica, you know, the Satanists and Sodom of the Potomac are still arresting peaceful people. We're just showing up January 6th at the protest there. They're still arresting them, but yet we have these blacks, these black feral animals to borrow that phrase from Gene, and that there are black feral animals, and the communist Jews can go and burn down whole damn cities. And I have white people, these Negro worshipers that want to be Negroes themselves so bad they don't know what to do, and they will say, oh, well, they have legitimate gripes. Well, that's probably the same thing. Probably not quite as violent in Canada. Sister, is it? It didn't quite get that balance in Canada, I don't think. But anyway, back to you, Sister Braveheart. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, I would say that just briefly about the BLM in the United States, our equivalent here was the native people, the Indians. And I hear the music coming on, but that was our equivalent of your BLM. They burned down all kinds of churches and whatnot. And
wow.
And the media is just praising them to the high heavens.
You need to talk about that when we come back. People will go right back. We'll go back to Sister Braveheart to talk about in just 1 second.
Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Sri Lanka's prime minister is stepping down. The resignation comes as thousands of protesters stormed the president's residence and office, expressing displeasure about a worsening economic crisis. It was not clear if the president was inside at the time. The country is relying on aid from India and other countries as leaders try to negotiate a bailout with the International Monetary Fund. British Defense Minister Ben Wallace says he will not run to replace Boris Johnson as Conservative Party leader and the country's next prime minister. He said he did so after careful consideration and discussing it with colleagues and family. Wallace was seen as the favorite by some after Johnson resigned Thursday after enduring several ethics scandals. Wall Street crawled to a winning week on Friday after a stronger-than-expected jobs report. The major indexes were mixed at the close. This is USA Radio News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733.
The body for Japan's former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was returned to Tokyo. Abe was fatally shot during a campaign speech on Friday. His attacker told investigators that he had planned the shooting because of his belief that Abe was part of an organization he resents. Mourners lowered their heads as the hearse carrying Abe's body drove by. Newly released police records showed that law enforcement made frequent visits to the suspect in the 4th of July shooting in Highland Park, Illinois. The records showed that between 2009 and 2014, there were domestic disputes between Robert Cremo III and his parents that included verbal and physical abuse. The reports also detail moments of intoxication and multiple escalating arguments. There has been additional scrutiny after it was learned that Cremo's father signed off on a form to allow him to own a gun. Elon Musk wants out of his $44 billion deal to buy Twitter. The social media company says they'll sue to uphold it. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Dear Blood River Radio fam, we're going to go right back to Miss Braveheart. She's going to tell us a little bit more about when these poor abused Indians had to take vent their anger by burning Christian churches down. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Yeah, it actually is kind of a big deal for me to talk about this because all my life I actually have been very sensitive about natives, and we had Eskimos in our home lots, but we don't call them Eskimos anymore. That's politically incorrect. So now they're the Inuit. But my dad was working in the north as a doctor in the north, and so we grew up actually with a greater sensitivity to the Aboriginal people of northern Canada, at least. Now, for me to now talk about this, this is a big deal because what I'm seeing is that there is an agenda here. And once again, it's about dispossessing white people of our land. Oh, and somebody listening might say, oh, it's not your land. You know, somebody else was here first. Well, guess what? We're actually learning, if we go back further in history, that white people were here first. So that's a whole nother story. That's not what I'm going to talk about now. But I will say that, you know, about a year and a bit ago, there was that story, breaking news, and it made headlines around the world about the mass graves found at the old residential school sites in British Columbia and in other provinces as well. Kamloops was kind of the ground zero for that story. And yeah, so then it follows from there that they never did find, they didn't dig up any mass graves, they didn't dig up any bones, they didn't dig anything up. Could have been tree roots that they found with their imaging machinery, their technology that they used. And they flew this story. They didn't want to know the truth. Actually, some investigators, they were even turned back by the Indians. It wasn't just our government in Ottawa that didn't want to talk to them or give information. It was the Indians. They didn't want this to be exposed because, I mean, they are the ones who stand to gain from these stories. And we've got this Bill C-15, which basically any land that has ever been used or, you know, lived on or hunted on or passed through or whatever by Aboriginal people, it is theirs. It doesn't belong to us anymore. So this is coming. I mean, you know, that you brought it up in the first hour, you will own nothing, you will be happy. Well, guess what? That would include our land. You know, so we really, I mean, this is another part of this illegitimate government. I'll just pause, let you comment on that before I say any more.
Go ahead, Gene.
Well, now they're trying to get that nonsense going in this country of paying reparations to blacks because of slavery. And I think California has already paid or already passed that to dip into the coffers and the state treasury in California and start paying. How are they going to define, you know, who is owed that money? Just because blacks came over here a long time after slavery ended from some other country, why do they get reparations? And how are they going to square this up with blacks who own slaves? And there was, according to the 1860 census in the state of South Carolina, about 30% of the slave owners were black. And in Louisiana, about 24% of the slave owners were black. So blacks owned other slaves, and why should their descendants turn around and get money for reparations for slavery? So this kind of idiotic nonsense goes beyond the border of the United States and Canada. It goes all over. Insane of the things that these clowns come up with. And the news media backs it, and they never have anybody on to ask that question. What about blacks that actually owned other blacks? Why do their descendants get reparations?
And to add to that, Nancy Hitt was on telling us the story a few weeks ago about how actually if this goes through, she should be getting reparations because her ancestors were also slaves. They were indentured servants, which was slaves. So there were more white slaves actually than black slaves. But most people don't know that. Actually, they get very, very surprised when you start talking about white slaves. So,
Go
ahead. Finish that thought. I'll bring it back to the native situation in Canada. There's just a couple
more
things
I'll
say.
That wrapped up mine is the insanity, the reparations nonsense. But it makes a good theater. It's good theater. And that's all they want.
You know, Ms. Monica, what you and Gene been talking about, if you look at it and examine it, every single one of these things that the Jews are bringing up, they're always using another race against us. The whole thing, it's part of their system, whether it be the Inuits, the Eskimos, the poor downtrodden blacks, the poor Hispanics coming up by the millions from South America and Mexico. It's all in their system, all in their design, part of their operation to displace the white people all over the world, and then to finally, once they get us down to the critical level, they're going to do away with us. Their final goal, the end game for them is for us to be exterminated. Would you agree with that, Ms. Monica?
Absolutely, that is the agenda. And so here in Canada with their agenda, you know, Bill C-15 about the Aboriginal title to land and these mass graves supposedly. And then what happened is there was all kinds of violence. There was burning of a lot of churches on reservations in Canada, and maybe, I'm not sure if churches off reservation got burnt too, but many, many churches got burnt. And what was the official response to that? Oh, well, it's understandable, you know, it's understandable. So that's okay, I guess, you know. Gosh, I was going to say something else and I just lost my train of thought, but it'll come back to me. Sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, oh, no, I'll, well, I'll go ahead, Gene. Go ahead.
We've had a lot of bad news here in this 45 minutes or so. There is some good news, and I would like to give that out to our listeners, if you don't mind, Eddie.
Wednesday, anything you want to do is fine.
Well, Wednesday, the 13th of July, is the 201st birthday, anniversary of the 201st birthday of Confederate General and fellow Tennessean Nathan Bedford Forrest, born on July the 13th, 1821, in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. And so I will be commemorating that. I've had these 24 by 18 signs made up for the birthdays of Robert E. Lee, Thomas Jackson, Patrick Claiborne, Jefferson Davis, and now Forrest is going to be out in our front yard on the 12th and 13th of July, and with a sign with his picture that says, "I have never on the field of battle sent you where I was unwilling to go myself." And then below that it says he was wounded 5 times and in hand-to-hand combat killed 30 enemy soldiers. So it's a good education for our neighbors. We live on a dead-end street, and people are always walking their dogs or pushing children in strollers and riding bicycles and everything up and down our street. So hopefully we're educating a small percentage of the population in Nashville, which is really totally ignorant of history, and they're taking down monuments in Nashville just like they are everywhere else in the country. So that will be out there on the 13th for that. One other thing I would like to throw out there is a letter that I wrote to Governor Tate Reeves of Mississippi. And I got a form begging for money and for a pro-life group, which I'm certainly support in theory, but they put this clown in there trying to, you know, have a political person as part of their campaign pitch for donations. And I guess they used him because of the anti-abortion law or the restrictions that the laws have in the state of Mississippi. So they're real proud of him. But as soon as I saw this person, he was the one that got rid of the Mississippi state flag that had the Confederate battle flag on it. The last state flag that we had in the South that had any reference to the Confederacy on their flag. And he got rid of it on a pretty crooked deal. So I wrote him a letter to Governor Tate Reeves on July the 1st, 2022. I have absolutely no desire to contribute to any organization that you are associated with, since you are without question a lying, double-crossing, we'll skip the last word since we're on the air, you are another of the rhino Republicans who run for election as a, quote, strong conservative, but then turn into a supporter of the liberal communist Democratic Party as soon as the election is over. Why should we waste our time, money, and support on traitors to conservative issues like you, when you sorry rats turn on the very people who voted you worthless maggots into office? Your midnight deal, second paragraph, your midnight deal you cut to destroy the beautiful state flag of Mississippi and replace it with some disgusting flag with a poison ivy blossom or whatever it is, ranks as one of the low points in political annals of cowardly acts. Thousands of real Mississippi men died under the Confederate battle flag, defending your state as well as the rest of the South against a brutal invasion by U.S. Army murderers, thieves, and rapists. And we'll finish the last lineup after the break.
Bless you, Gene. I wish you'd have signed my name in there. Man, as big as John Henry signed his name. I mean, John Hancock. Be right back, folks. That gets me fired up. God bless Gene. God bless the bitter ender. Be right back, people.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. Freedomfactor.org.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Here at Blood River Radio family, may I tell you what, that letter that Gene wrote to that stinking lying rat down there in Mississippi, and I'm like, Gene, I can't say otherwise. I wish Gene had signed my name on their letters as big as he could possibly get on there. I want a copy of that letter. I'm going to send it to our stinking Tennessee governor. Anyway, right back to you, Gene. Finish telling us about that letter.
We were just finishing up the last couple of lines in here, and the point was that this Governor Tate Reeves cut a midnight deal to get the Confederate battle flag off the Mississippi state flag, and then they replaced it with a magnolia blossom, which is prominent in Mississippi, and that's why I said they replaced it, made a disgusting flag with a poison ivy blossom or whatever it is. I knew it was a magnolia blossom. And then we have a coward like this in office. While I said that thousands of real Mississippi men died under the Confederate battle flag defending your state, as well as the rest of the South, against a brutal invasion by U.S. Army murderers, thieves, and rapists, and cowardly little twits like you won't even stand up to the low IQ black agitators and the whores in the fake news media. And then the last sentence was, the whole point behind this was pro-life organization got him as a spokesperson and put his little sorry letter in with their campaign to raise money to fight Roe versus Wade, which the Supreme Court has overturned, and turn it back to the states, which they should have done a long time ago. It was illegal in the first place. And then the last line, though, that I sent to the traitor governor, one can only wish that your mother had an abortion so maybe all Southerners could still be proud of the real Mississippi state flag today instead of that politically correct surrender rag that you now have.
God bless you. That is a hell of a letter. That takes, intellectual courage, intellectual honesty. And that just takes being the bitter ender. That's straight out of bitter ender right there, brother. That be people. You know why we call him the bitter ender right now? And that governor, Go ahead, Jim.
Well, it's just so typical of these so-called conservatives that we have. And every one of them has been a traitor. And, in Mike Grissom's new book, he's come out, Dixie Southern Essays, he has a chapter in there. It's entitled Why Republicans Can't Save the South. And he goes through all the Republicans that we've elected as conservatives and how they've turned on us. And he even throws in some of the things that Ronald Reagan did, and he's supposed to be the holy saint of conservatism when he was president. But he lists a lot of the things that were put in place during Reagan's two terms in office that certainly aren't conservative, and especially fly in the face of our Southern heritage and Southern history, going back to Dr. Hill. We can't change this onslaught, this juggernaut that's rolling over, so we need to just get away from it and have our own government. Get away from this nonsense.
Miss Monica Jean is so right. I talked about this on the first hour. I'm going to kind of recap this just slightly and go to you, get your opinion. just like Gene said, we have these line dogs because they're supposed to go in there on a conservative ticket, and they come. What they do in on the federal level, they come in and open up our borders wide open. And I told them on the first hour, if in my code, when we first moved in here on Halloween Day 1980, it was lily white for a couple of miles around. Now we were the minority. Very few of the people were in this area, in this whole subdivision right here, even speak English. They're from Ecuador, Honduras, Mexico, all over all Colombia. It's that way. And Gene and Monica, if you go anywhere, from the lowest job in Burger King, Wendy's, McDonald's, all the way up to light, gas, and water, people that work on the street make really good money, people that work in the post office, I cannot tell you the last time I saw a postman that was white. They're all black. Every stinking one of the people in the postman that go out on the street, all the post offices, they're all black. The burger jobs are black. There's no white people working anymore. We are flat out being displaced. And that's why, Gene, I think they're probably kissing the rear of all these white-hating, southern-hating people to curry a favor with them so they can keep their precious seat in office in the cesspool we call Washington, D.C., and even the state level. How about that, Miss Monica?
Yeah, these folks are absolutely controlled opposition. And I think that they don't reach their positions without it being clear to the hidden hand that they will be serving that hidden hand, and that is the Jews, because they are behind this massive influx of non-white people into all white countries. And I just want to say that, and I always have people in mind that, for example, other family members who are not on the same page as Alfred and I, and they just think that we're such hateful people because we might object to having all these people pouring into our countries. And I say, look, I don't hate those people. I just don't want them to come into replace us here. It's like, do you want to open your door and invite, five families from wherever, Somalia or whatever, to live in your living room? You might object. Well, this is the same thing, that we object to them coming into our countries. Doesn't mean we hate them. We might even go traveling sometime to their countries and enjoy, learning about their culture and their lives, but maybe we don't want to, maybe we do, I don't know. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with not wanting to be replaced, and in other words, not being genocided ourselves. And I think it's really important to make that point again and again, so the people understand what this is about, to counter the narrative that's always on the mainstream about, the haters and the bigots, we have to counter that narrative and just make it clear that, we want to live. We want our own, we have the right to live and to survive and thrive. And that's what this is about. And we know, and that's why it's so important that people know their history, like you were saying earlier, but we're talking true history, what's happened in the past, what's going on. This didn't just happen organically that all these people flooded our countries. I mean, it was in the 1960s that in all these white countries, United States, Canada, Australia, UK, New Zealand, in mid-1960s, so it might have been 65 in one country, 66 in another, 67, I'm not sure exactly, but in those mid-60 years, the immigration laws changed in all these white countries to bring in third worlders, and that was deliberate strategy. And some people saw it back then and fought in the trenches and went to jail over it and whatnot, but I was still playing in a sandbox at that time. So, yeah, go ahead.
That's so true. And what these fools on the left can't see is it's going to come back to destroy them. When they replaced the whites in Rhodesia and replaced the whites in South Africa, those countries have been destroyed. And it doesn't matter whether you're liberal or conservative. They went from two countries that were the most prosperous countries in Africa that could raise enough food and had enough electricity and clean water. They could take care of pretty much the rest of the continent of Africa just from those two countries. And now they're just typical black-run basket cases. They can't even feed their own people. In some places, they've reverted back to cannibalism. They've destroyed the white farms, the white industry. And yes, they got rid of the whites, but it left a void that nobody else has been able to replace or pick up the slack of what happened to them. And they say, well, that'll never happen over here. No, that'll never happen here. Oh, yes, it has. Look at our inner cities. And Eddie can tell you about Memphis, and
yes.
I can tell you about Nashville or Detroit or Baltimore or St. Louis or any of these inner cities. They have turned them into unlivable hell holes. And that's what's going to happen to the entire country eventually someday. And why they think that, well, it just happened in the inner cities, but it won't happen out here in the high dollar district. Oh, yes, it will.
When
the food supply collapses and the electricity grid goes down, they're coming after you. And I guarantee that's going to happen. So these people that are turning the other cheek, so to speak, think about all the good things they're doing, they're going to be the first ones that are going to get killed off, because a lot of us have invested in precious metals, brass and lead, and we're stockpiling that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, good. Really good, brass and lead, yes.
Yes. You know, Miss Monica, if you want to know who's behind this, and Mr. and Gene, I'm saying, do like I did 7 years ago. Make you some signs. It's one sign that says, say, open borders for Israel, gun control for Israel, and go in front of a big Southern Baptist church, or even a United Methodist, but especially Southern Baptist, and you will see hell break loose. If you want to find out who's really pushing this agenda, if they're really so crazy about open borders, well, let's have it for Israel. How about that, Miss Monica?
Yeah, absolutely. And Eddie, I know you like to talk about solutions. Okay, people,
yes, yes.
Set up your communities. We have to set up parallel systems, and it has to be completely separate from the so-called government, because it is completely illegitimate and illegal, unlawful, I should say. And we have to set up our own systems, whether that's growing food and supporting each other in our local communities with that, and defending ourselves. I don't know if that involves, you know, militias, or at least, like you say, the brass, the lead. And we have to, and educate our children, and in small pods of, where we, like, it's homeschooling, but we could do it in small groups if not every parent or every family can do it. But don't send your children to the public schools. Do not send them there. They're dangerous places. They're indoctrinating your children with false history, and with this, LGBTQ agenda. It's poison, pure poison for the mind. And of course, then they go and give the kids the jab without parental consent, because they don't need parental consent. All these things. So it's actual literal poison. Do your own thing. We are born free, and I think it was Schiller, an old German poet, who said, we are born free whether we are born in shackles or not, but we are born free. Those are our God-given rights, and so we should remain free and not let ourselves become enslaved. So that's my 2 cents worth.
No, that sounds like Miss Monica wrote part of the Declaration of Independence in the
country. Yes.
They should have had her in Philadelphia in 1776 to write that. It would have been an excellent person to have there.
You're absolutely right. And, I'd just like to chip in. We talked about this in the first part of the show. One thing we have to do, we have to figure out a way to not use this new Jew-controlled Federal Reserve digital currency. We have to say, like Ms. Monica says, we have to have our own parallel of society, especially the money system. Back to you, Gene.
No, that was a good point that was made there, and it's disgusting how many people have bought into this, and people that are relatively smart, college educated. Well, maybe that's a detriment if you have a college degree.
Yes,
we've been propagandized for so many years with that kind of poison and nonsense. So I'm not sure that a college degree is really worth that much anymore if you got it within the last 15 or 20 years. So you have to get away from that. Okay.
Well, General Forrest got along pretty good without a college degree. He didn't have all that formal education. Well, people, thank you so much for leaving. Thank you, Miss Sister Braveheart and Brother Bitter Ender. Thank you, Cameron, for doing a wonderful job on the board. Thank you, dear Blood River Radio audiences. Like I said in the first, y'all, please pray for the Sasquatch down in Florida. He's got that dreadful cancer. And also pray for Bob Scarborough. He also has cancer of the throat. Well, good night, everybody. Good night, Miss Monica. Good night, Gene.